the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit, which is taken from the portion that is called Tzav. That's the Hebrew word that means to command. This word is related to another word you are probably familiar with, and that is mitzvah, which is the Hebrew word for commandment. In previous portions, God would speak to Moses, and he would use phrases like, speak unto the children of Israel, or say unto the children of Israel. But here he says to Moses in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9, command, tzav, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be upon the hearth, upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And so then, the use of this word tzav, or command, emphasizes the extreme importance of doing things the right way. In this particular case, it emphasizes the importance of the law, or the Torah, of the burnt offering, which, by the way, in this case, is distinct from the individual's offering that we covered in the previous Torah portion. Now, this burnt offering that was referred to here is the continual offering that's brought each morning and each evening, every day of the week, on behalf of the entire community. So that's the distinction that's made here. This burnt offering was a perpetual offering. And by the way, that's why it is referred to as the tamid, or the perpetual or eternal offering, every day. Consequently now, the fire of the altar, like the ner tamid, which was represented by the menorah, that was viewed as being a witness of Israel's mandate, that is, to be a light to the nations and to be a witness of the one true God. That light was to never go out. The fire of the altar was to never go out. And so it's that notion that brings us to the point of our tidbit this week, and that is that from the beginning, God's purposes for the world have been entrusted in large part to people like you and me. From the beginning, this is what we mean, He elected to work through people, imperfect people, to bring about His perfect will. He put the matter into our hands, so to speak. And so, in this Torah portion, we see that what He had done through Moses initially, He now delegates to Aaron and to Aaron's sons, that is, the priests. Specifically, Leviticus 8 is devoted to the consecration, or to use the Hebrew idiom here, filling the hands of Aaron and his sons. Now, what were their hands filled with? The answer is responsibility. I find it interesting and a bit ironic that Aaron is chosen as Israel's high priest because he's the one who's charged with leading the people in distinguishing between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the profane, what's good, what's not good. And he is the one, as high priest, who is to make sure that everything in the tabernacle functions just as God has commanded. I find it ironic because, you'll remember, it was Aaron who fashioned the golden calf and who, in part at least, led the people of Israel into great sin, effectively mingling the holy with the profane. So then, was his selection as high priest and with all the great responsibilities that went along with it, a reward or maybe a consequence? Whatever the reason, according to the scripture, this is the thing that the Lord commanded, and that is to consecrate or to fill the hands of Aaron and his sons for the duties of the priesthood. Rabbinic sages believe that Moses was given the status of leader. He was given the status of teacher and essentially acted as a high priest. Yet in this particular Torah portion, Moses, with all of those duties that he had and offices, nevertheless humbles himself by washing the priest, even as he inaugurates them into the priesthood. Because, as it said, this is the thing God had commanded him to do. Now, obviously, this is to portend what Yeshua, who is our king, our teacher, and our high priest, what he would do on the night before his death, as we read in John chapter 13. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example," and that's going to be very important to our study. "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And so from this passage, we learn that, A, Yeshua doesn't require or ask of us anything he isn't willing to do or hasn't already done himself. In other words, he taught his disciples, you and I, by example. B, we learn that by doing this, he inaugurated them, and by extension us, into the calling to be servant leaders. He places the responsibility to advance his kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom into their hands. They are to do as he has done. So then, back to the Torah portion, when the time came for Aaron and his sons to step into their calling, Moses humbled himself to wash them and to teach them by his example. Furthermore, upon their consecration, Aaron and his sons, as we see, will eat a solemn meal, just as Yeshua's disciples would also eat a solemn meal after they had been washed. So I want you to see the parallels between the two, because it's our point today to show that Moses was a portent of the Messiah. It should be noted that Moses was initiating the priest into service, first to God and secondly to the people. And again, this was to follow the example set by Moses, who had faithfully served God and the people, even if the people didn't always realize that or appreciate it. And so then, likewise, Yeshua taught us that we are to serve God first and then each other, because that's what he did. He humbled himself in this way. Now, on that note, here's an interesting thought. Generally, each time a priest entered the court of the temple, he would wash his hands and his feet only. Yet, when he was consecrated into the priesthood, immersion in a mikveh was called for. Now, I find that interesting because of the dialogue that occurs between Peter and Yeshua as the Messiah washed the disciples' feet. This is also found in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. "Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Yeshua answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.'" We're going to come back to that point in just a moment. "Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Yeshua answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.'" So interestingly, given this dialogue, Peter is the one who would later say of believers that we are a royal priesthood. He came to realize that. Because you remember, Yeshua at the time told him, "You don't understand what I'm doing right now, but you're going to understand it later." So he came to understand that. In some way, according to Yeshua, these men that he washed their feet had already immersed themselves and, in effect, had been consecrated as his disciples, his priests, and those charged with the responsibility of carrying out his will. And just as Moses anointed Aaron and his sons with oil, Yeshua anointed his disciples to be his representatives to the world. And again, that extends to you and to me today. Now, traditionally, Moses poured oil on Aaron's head, and then, according to tradition, he placed some of the oil between Aaron's eyebrows. And then with his finger, he connected the two points of oil by forming the Greek letter chi, which would be the form X, or we would call it X, but which is also the ancient form of the letter Tav, or a cross. And so in this tradition, we see that once again, Moses is serving as a representation of the Messiah, Yeshua. In that vein of thought, it's interesting that the word Moshe, or the name Moshe, comes from a root word mashah, which means to draw out, or to draw out of the water. And that's related to mashach, which means to separate out. And from that, we get the word Mashiach, or Messiah. And so it seems fitting that the priests would be sealed, as it were, with the emblem, and that's my word, of the renewed covenant, the cross. Now, during the inauguration of the priests, we see that they had to be cleansed of any transgressions that they were guilty of before they could be placed in a position to help others. And so we read in Leviticus 8:22 that Moses brought a ram of consecration, or another word that we could render this as is inauguration, a ram of inauguration, which was then the special offering for the consecration of the priest. This offering completed the inauguration process and was thus called the ram of miluim, that's the Hebrew word, or more literally, the ram of completion, the ram of fullness, because miluim comes from the root word milah, and that's a word we've talked about before, which means to be complete, to be full. Thus, it is understood that this inauguration offering was to be regarded as a shalemim, or a peace offering. It was acknowledging that God and these men were in reconciliation one to the other. Now, I want to point this out. Shalemim, peace offering, comes from the word shalem, which means whole, and from this is derived a word that we're all familiar with, shalom, peace. Why is all that important? Because Yeshua, who is our peace, came to make the two. Paul says the two are uncircumcision and circumcision. He came to make the two one, and that oneness is related to the fullness of the Gentiles that Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 11. And so again, we see that from the beginning, God chose to place the responsibility of His purpose in the hands of imperfect men, who are nonetheless made perfect, that is, reconciled to the Creator, whether they be circumcision or uncircumcision, by the blood of the Messiah, who now, we understand, functions as our high priest and our advocate. And because He is our high priest, and because He does make intercession on our behalf, just as Moses did for the sake of the people of Israel in the wilderness, Messiah does that on our behalf so that those of us who are imperfect can play a role in the fulfillment of His perfect will. Subsequently, we have been challenged by the Messiah to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations. That, ladies and gentlemen, is our responsibility. Like Aaron and his sons, we have been inaugurated, or to use the Hebrew idiom, our hands have been filled, not with offerings as theirs were, but with responsibility. You see, His purpose for this world and for the people of this world has been invested in us. In many ways, it is up to us whether or not the people of the world hear the gospel of the kingdom. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is very sobering. You see, we, like Aaron and his sons, have been made His priests and have been challenged to set our hand to the plow and not look back. Or let's look at it this way. The one who fulfilled His part and pronounced, "It is finished," now says to you and to me, "Now it's time to do your part. It's in your hands now." And that, ladies and gentlemen, is this week's Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BuildCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BuildCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.